Sometimes it feels like it's got the best of us. We're going to start a new series this morning titled Hope Has Come, because Jesus has the ability to help you make it through those holidays. He has the ability to change your life for eternity. In this time of the year, it can be really easy to be very busy. It can be really easy to be very busy and miss the fact that you have the opportunity to celebrate a living hope. And Satan wants to blur that vision for you this season and keep you in that circumstance that you feel like has you down or has overwhelmed you to the point that you believe not even God can help me in this. I want you to realize that we are in a season of hope. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a hope. It's about what God was going to accomplish through His Son when He sent Him to this earth. And He gives us the opportunity to have a living hope. In Luke chapter 1, you can turn there if you have your Bibles this morning. That's where we're going to be. The book opens introducing us to three people. A husband and wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and a young teenage girl named Mary. And all three in Luke chapter 1 find themselves in a very precarious situation. They find themselves probably struggling. They find themselves unsure of what's going on or what's going to happen. They find themselves in circumstances they probably never thought would happen, but they did. And these three will experience the God of the impossible. And it's interesting, you know, we read the Bible, we know the story. But for them, this really happened in their lives. And in real time, God is working in their life, doing the impossible, and they're left wondering, how is this going to play out? Just like in your life, you go through circumstances and you wonder, this seems impossible. What is God doing with this? You don't know how it's going to play out. But we try to be like Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and stay faithful and true and allow God to work through us. And that's what happens in our story today. Luke 1 starts out with Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest who works in the temple. It's his job. He goes every day. He takes care of things in the temple. He makes sacrifices for the people's sins. And one of the most important jobs as a priest that he had was to make sure the incense that burnt in the temple continued to rise to the heavens. It represented the continual prayers of the people. And so every day, Zechariah would go to the temple and do his duties, serving God in this way, serving the people of Israel in that way. Each and every day, faithful and true, doing his duty, doing his job, serving God. And then one particular day, things are a little bit different. It'll have been just another day, but he shows up and realizes this would only happen in a priest's life a few times. He was given the opportunity to go into another part of the temple to raise prayers to the heavens. While the worshipers are on the outside, he's in another room raising up prayers to God on behalf of the people. And then he's visited by an angel. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth." And there the angel says, "Your prayer is heard." We're going to find out in a minute that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they're not spry young couple. They're advanced in age. And I would imagine, being this faithful, God-fearing man, that each and every day he went to the temple, not only did he pray for the people, but he prayed that his wife could conceive a child. But his wife was barren. Faithful and true, each and every day he went and he prayed. And then finally, in his advanced age, this angel shows up in his everyday life, just going and doing his duty, and says, Your prayers, well, they've been heard. And your prayers are heard as well. And then we go on in verse 18 to hear his response, because there's going to be a reaction to this. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." His wife's not even there and he knows he's got to say that carefully. You see that? "I'm an old man, but she's well along." And he didn't say, "I'm an old man and she's an old woman." but she's this long in years. The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will all come true at their proper time." So Zechariah, this faithful man, this priest of the Lord, goes each and every day, faithful and true, honoring God, serving the people of Israel, and he's visited by this angel and given this news. I'm sure it had to be quite shocking. I wonder if this is a prayer that he had continued to pray, but probably thought, it's just not in the cards. And now he's given the news. And Zechariah says, "How can I be sure of this?" The original language here, this translation doesn't do it justice. What he actually is saying here is, "I can never believe this." Have you ever had someone tell you something and you say, "That cannot happen. There is absolutely no way. I would not believe that in a million years." And that's how he's responding. Leads me to think he continued to pray this prayer that his wife would have a child. But perhaps in the back of his mind, he just knew it wasn't going to happen. And now it's come to be, it's come to pass that God has delivered this promise to him. And for you, often we pray prayers and we in the back of our mind question and think, it probably just won't happen. And this is a clear call to us that God wants us to continue to be faithful and true. Faithful and true. Do our duty each and every day, just as Zechariah did. While this is going on, the worshipers on the outside in the temple, they're starting to get a little restless. Zechariah's been in there a little too long. I wonder what has happened. Perhaps he did something wrong and God has struck him dead. And the next thing you know, he comes out before the people. And the first game of charades happens. It tells us in Luke 1 that he's using expressions to try to relay what is happening. I wonder what he's doing. If he's doing this, the people are thinking he's lost his mind. What's he doing? And, you know, he's doing this. And, you know, did you have too much to eat for Thanksgiving? They didn't have Thanksgiving back then yet. Well, what's going on? And he's doing the, oh, a baby. And he's, yeah. And he's pointing at his wife. And everybody's looking at everybody else. And they're thinking, her, Elizabeth? Yeah. She's, you know, baby. Overwhelmed. An overwhelming experience. And I wonder why it is that God chose to silence Zechariah. Perhaps it's because sometimes we're a hindrance to God's plan. It's kind of blunt. But sometimes we get in the way. Sometimes God maybe not needs to silence our voice, but he needs to silence some part of our life because we're just getting in God's way and his plan. And in the process, he can teach us lessons. And I'm sure in those 9 months of silence, he grew. He learned some lessons. And here's some truths to this story. Sometimes, number one, sometimes we need to be tested to bring us to trust. Sometimes this is a process that God needs to do to us. Zechariah is being silenced so that he can be brought back to a place of faith and praise of God. And I'm sure that transformed through him over these 9 months. The joy that he had, but he couldn't communicate, and how God was working through him in the silent times. What challenge do you face that God needs to silence you in? Have you ever felt silenced? Perhaps that's when God is wanting to work in and through you. After a challenge, maybe something that was difficult, and you're on the other side of that challenge, we don't say, "Man, I'd really like to go back through that again." No, we look at that and say, you know what? When I was going through that challenge, I didn't know what was happening. I felt silenced. I didn't have a voice to it. But now that I'm on the other side of it, I can look back and see, man, God really, he really matured me in this situation. Or he really advanced me in that part of my life. Or he brought me to a whole other level of understanding who God is as I went through that circumstance. And God is able to do that through us. Max Lucado wrote a book called In the Eye of the Storm. In the book, he refers to a little parakeet named Chippy. He tells a story that Chippy's owner was going to clean out his birdcage with a vacuum. And so she was vacuuming out the birdcage, and her phone rang, and so she went to grab it. And when she did, she lifted the vacuum hose and sucked up the little parakeets. little chippy. And so she panics and she shuts off the vacuum and opens up the canister. And there he's still alive, but he's covered in dirt and he's sneezing. And so she panics and she runs into the bathroom sink and turns on the faucet without even thinking to use the warm water. It's the cold, and just drowns little Chippy in water. All the dirt and dust come off, but now he looks like he's in shock. He's just a wet little bird. And so she decides to get out the hairdryer. And she blasts him with that hot air, and he gets all fluffed up, and he's just in a daze. Well, someone with a newspaper heard about the story and did an article about it, and it must have been a slow day in the news. And a week later, the person who wrote the article called Chippy's owner up to see how little Chippy was doing. And the owner said, well, Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just kind of sits there and stares. She said, to tell you the truth, he's been sucked up, washed up, and blown over. You ever feel like that? Like you've been sucked up, you've been drowned, you've been blown over, life has really been tough. And it's in those silent times that God can really do some amazing things. And we can decide either to live a life of no hope or to live a life of endless hope. And this Christmas season, we celebrate a life of endless hope all the way to eternity. Zachariah and Elizabeth, they decided to live a life of endless hope. Every pregnancy test came back negative, yet he kept going to the temple each and every day, doing his duty, serving God, lifting up the prayers. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born so that you can live a life of endless hope. Truth number two, usually waiting increases our appreciation. We see this with our children at Christmas time. You buy the presents, you wrap them, you put the bow on it, a name tag, you put it under the tree, and your kids see it every day. Can I open that present? No, you gotta wait till Christmas. You walk in the living room, they're in there shaking it, trying to figure it out, put it back down. But I just want to open it, can I open it up? No, Christmas. And then what happens on Christmas morning? Kids tear through the wrapping paper and open up the box with so much anticipation. Why? Because they had to wait. And in their waiting, it increased their appreciation for the gift. If you bought the gift, brought it home, wrapped it, and then handed it to them December 3rd, said, here's Christmas. How much appreciation would there have been for that gift? Probably not the same level as appreciation if there hadn't been the waiting. And I think that God silenced Zachariah so that he couldn't be going around touting, my wife's pregnant, we're going to have a baby. But that he would have to wait to even say a word about his son that God was giving him. And it was heightening his appreciation for what God was doing. Half of wanting is waiting. And Satan wants to do nothing less than to set up shop while you're in your waiting time and sow seeds of bitterness and frustration and anger. And then we won't see how God is doing amazing things in our life while we're in the time of waiting. God can do amazing things in the time of waiting. We can learn a lot of good lessons in the time of waiting. And when we wait, we have more of an appreciation for what God can do. Zechariah, he just kept going and kept praying. He kept going and kept praying. He kept doing what God had called him to. And he kept showing his faithfulness to God. And you may say, you know, I've lived my life the right way. I've honored God. I worship God. I serve him. But it just doesn't seem like my prayers are being answered. But he does. But sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers how we'd like them to be answered. And then, a few months later, about the sixth month, Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. You might remember the story. And as soon as Mary greeted Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth, it says it leapt. There was that connection between Jesus and John. And Mary goes on to tell her an interesting story that happened, much like the story that Zechariah experienced, that an angel had come and said, even though you're a virgin, you're going to give birth to a baby. And it's not just some ordinary baby. It's going to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one. And you are to name him Jesus. And Elizabeth says, Zechariah had an angel visit him as well. I'm pregnant in my old age. What if years before Zechariah would have decided, you know what, I've prayed about this enough, I'm just going to quit. You know, I'll keep going to the temple, I'm going to do my duty, I'm going to serve God, lift the prayers of the people, but as far as my plea for this, it's over. But he didn't. He stayed faithful, he stayed true. He learned his lesson, God silenced him. And I'm sure glad that God doesn't strike us with laryngitis every time we kind of question God's plan. You'd need a fill-in preacher a little more often. Because we find ourselves in situations of life where sometimes it can be tough to trust God. It can be tough to realize, okay, God, I can see what he's doing, but I'm just a little unsure of this. But we do as Zechariah did. And we increase our appreciation for God while we're in the waiting times. And then Zechariah learns about what his son's going to be like. In verse 16, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What an experience. He's hearing what his son is going to do. How proud of a father do you think he's going to be? And perhaps your greatest act in your life won't be something you do, but it might be who you raise. Being given the opportunity to be able to have a child and to raise a child is such a wonderful opportunity. Even more so in a godly way, wondering, how is it that God's going to work through my child? And dedicating your child to God, and that God can work through them, may be the greatest work that you ever see in your life. But how important it is. The third truth. What seems to be your greatest setback could be the catalyst for your greatest comeback. You ever pray for something and you receive it, and then your explanation as to why it happened changes? You get a promotion at work. You've been praying for the promotion at work. You finally get it and people are patting you on the back. That's great. You got the, you know, well, I've worked hard all these years. I kind of deserved it. Or you got to buy your dream house. And people come over and, oh, this is a beautiful house. This is amazing. You've been praying for that dream house. And then you say, well, you know, I've been good with my money. I've saved my money all these years. Or you get married. You've been praying for a spouse. You get married and you say, well, I knew she'd come around. You know, we want God's involvement. And we pray to God. And then when things come to fruition, we make it all about us. And that's another reason why perhaps Zechariah was silenced, is because he wanted him to realize this had nothing to do with him and his wife, but it's all about God and his blessings. Because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And we need to view things in that way. And in those times where we feel silenced, don't be surprised what God might be up to. When we're silenced, he may be preparing you for a time down the road when your voice can be heard. A little bit later in Luke chapter 1, we read this about Mary. In verse 30, an angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." And then Mary has a response. How can this be so? I'm a virgin. And in verse 35, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, also has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren." Listen to this. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Do you believe that? And we read this in Scripture and well, it's the Bible. It's about Jesus. It's about John the Baptist. I mean, God had a big time plan for that. I mean, this had to happen. It was God's plan. I'm just me. But the same is true for you as well. For nothing will be impossible with God. God had much more in store for Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary than they ever realized. And God has more in store for you as well. But God wants to see from you what he saw from Zechariah, a man who was faithful and true each and every day, going to the temple, doing his daily work, offering up the prayers to God, and not losing his faithfulness. He had a moment where he doubted, and God taught him a lesson. And we too have times where we doubt. And in those silent times, would you be willing to allow God to work? To be patient, because God will do something great on the other side. God, through His Son Jesus, gives us a living hope. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born so that we can be reborn. That we can be made new and be given a living hope that will go on for eternity. And so this morning, as we celebrate Christmas and it's in the forefront of our minds, we're reminded of a living hope that will never end. And today, are you living a life of no hope? If so, we welcome you to make a decision to welcome Jesus into your life, to lay down your life for the one who's already given his life for you, and accept that living hope that will continue on for all eternity. And so if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we welcome you to make that decision or to start talking about that. If you've already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as we worship in this song, be reminded that you have a living hope that goes on for eternity. Let's stand and let's sing.